Blog Talk Radio.
So many religions in this world, man. Do you really know? I was raised in a Christian home, raised in different rooms. I look a preacher, man. Faith that has been assumed, brainwashed in my youth. Big love and Jews, money on Bible college, and train rides to school. Playing father to leader, what am I to believe? That I blindly believe when I got a Bible to read. That I got down on my knees to walk away to God. Drop down to plead, a total waste of my time. It's the same with love, or it's the same with love. It's really important.
Amen. Welcome to the Prodigal Church Hour. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. It is 2:03 p.m. Friday, June the 3rd, 2016, and we're glad to be here again for another time in God's Word. You can call in 646-668-8468. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. I will leave the line open if you have a comment or you want a prayer request or you have a problem, if you want to talk about it. After we finish the lesson, we'll probably be teaching for about 45 minutes, maybe 50 minutes, and then we'll open up the phone line for those who might have a question or a comment or you just want a prayer request. And I will be more than happy to take your call. 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. For those that's on Periscope, those that's on Friend Life, those that are listening through Blog Talk Radio Player, on my Facebook page, please. This is a parachurch ministry, Blog Talk Radio. Prodigal Church Hour is a radio internet ministry that we are doing a live stream through Periscope and FriendLife. But you can listen to over 600 messages on the Blog Talk Radio channel by going to Minister Big Ken 65. Minister BIGKEN, the number 65. You just Google that, you'll be able to pull up all the lessons and studies that we'll be doing. We're right now currently going through the book of Proverbs, and we're starting the book of Proverbs or chapter 13 today. I don't know how far we'll get along, but we're not going to finish the whole thing, but we'll be in chapter 13, the contrast between the upright and the wicked, part 1 of Proverbs chapter 13. And I just want to welcome you. If it's your first time following me here, your first time watching me here, just know that, hey, we are a Bible-based ministry. We're here to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and teach God's word. And we're here to uplift you in the word of God, encourage you in the word of God, to get into a healthy, well-balanced church, get into the word of God, so you'll stay healthy, you'll stay fed, spiritually speaking, and you'll be able to grow with Christ in his word. That's what we're about. So I want to encourage you to do that. I want to help you encourage. Hope you be encouraged to do that. So with that being said, again, the calling number is 646-668-8468, and I will take phone calls after we finish this lesson up. We'll probably be here, like I said, maybe 3 o'clock, and then we'll open up the phone lines. And again, for those that might be living in the Los Angeles area, if you're looking for a Bible-based church, come join us Sunday. This Sunday, Core Church LA, located 2037. South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California. The church doors are open at 8:30. There's an 8:30 service, a 10:30 service, and a 12:30 noon service. This week we'll have a Christian worship group called the Kakinas. They will be there all 3 morning services, as well as Sunday at 6 p.m. There will be a special worship service, and we want you to invite your friends and loved ones, those who might be that you might think might be interested in coming to hear God's word and hearing some good worship music. Please come out, take advantage. You can also go to the website at Core Church LA website, www.corechurchla.org, and you can get all the information and details. If you're in the Los Angeles area, we would be happy to see you. Also, if you're a new believer and you live in the LA area, there we have a Core Essentials class. Starts at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. 9 o'clock Saturday morning, you can go and find out what it means to be a Christian. What does it mean to be in the faith? And you can also get that information also on the website, corechurchla.org. With that being said, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to be here today. We thank you for your word, Lord God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask, Father God, right now in the mighty name of Jesus, that you would touch us, Lord God. Touch us with a bit of your grace, Lord God, that you would give us an empowerment right now, that we would be know who we are in Christ, Lord. And if there's anybody here, Lord, that does not know who they are, Lord God, may they know who they are in Christ by the end of this message, Lord God. We ask, Lord God, that you would, that I would decrease and that you would increase, and that the Holy Spirit would speak through me, and that we would bring clarity, and that we would bring guidance, and we would uplift all those who are thirsty right now, those who need the living water. We love you, we praise you, and bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 646-668-8468, 646-668-8468. You can also follow me on Facebook at Daryl Kendrick. You can be my friend on Facebook. You can be my friend. You can send me an email at dkendricksr@gmail.com. You can also hit me up on Twitter at dkendricksr65. So there's always get in touch with me. Also, my personal cell, I don't mind giving it out. 424-702-8135. If you're in America, you can call me on my cell phone if you have any questions. But right now, we'll get into today's lesson, and we're in Proverbs 13. I'm going to read down to about verse 15 or 16. And then we'll come back and we'll kind of chop these up and see what God has to say to us. Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 1, the contrast between the upright and the wicked. He says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Number two, from the fruit of a man's mouth he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. Number three, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Number four, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Number five, a righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. Number six, righteousness guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. Number seven, there is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing, and another who pretends to be poor but has great wealth. Number eight, the ransom of a man's life is his riches, but the poor hears no rebuke. Number nine, the light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked goes out. And number ten, through presumption comes nothing but strife, but with those who receive counsel is wisdom. Number 11, the wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. Number 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Number 13, the one who despises a word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. And number 14, the teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn aside from the snares of death. Number 15, good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. Father God, we thank you again for the reading of your word. Lord, may you give us wisdom and instruction in today's teaching out of this wonderful Proverbs 13. Quick reminder, hey, if you're blessed by this ministry, please consider prayerfully donating $5 or $10 a month to the work of this ministry, this radio ministry, and podcast, broadcast, for us to be able to continue to move, to be able to uplift and to put some other things together. Only if you feel led by the Holy Spirit. I don't want anybody to do anything if their heart is not in it, if you didn't pray about it and consider what the Lord would have for you to do. But if you do feel led, please go to the GoFundMe link on the top of each page for those that's on Friend Life and those that's on Periscope, or you can go to my Facebook page and you'll see the link there as well. That's pretty much it. All right. Let's go here. Amen. Again, we've been going through quite a bit of these Proverbs with some contrast between the upright and the wicked. And what's the common thread is that there is a, God is showing us what happens when we walk in wisdom and what happens when we walk apart from wisdom, which is folly or foolishness, and how God wants us, if we're children of the Most High God, if we're truly born again of the Spirit, if we truly have a genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, and he is our Lord and Savior, it's vital for us to walk upright and to walk as wise men and women and versus walking as a foolish. Because, see, if you're walking as a foolish child, you cannot be a child of God. If that's your lifestyle, if that's who you are, that's what your life, your daily activity is you want to be more and more like the world and less like Christ, then that's because you are a child of the devil and not a child of God. And that's just what the Bible teaches. You know, there's no in-between. I know a lot of people want to say, well, I'm not a child of the devil. Well, if you're not saved, you are. Because Satan is using you. You just don't know it because foolish people don't understand that the darkness that they walk in. They don't understand the fact that Satan will use each and every one of us that rebels against God. When we're rebellious against God, you have no choice but to be, you're basically lining yourself up with the will of the devil. So we have to be mindful of the fact that children of God live like children of God. Children of the devil live like children of the devil. Those that reject truth and wisdom are children of the devil. So let's go on and look at this and chop it up a little bit. Again, number one, Proverbs 13:1, it says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. A wise son accepts his father's discipline. You know, when you, I have a son, I have one son, Daryl Jr., and, we're not, he's 22 now, and, me and him don't have the best relationship. Some things I can own from my past before I gave my life back to the Lord, and those things have hindered our relationship. But nonetheless, the things I try to tell my son now, I try to tell him based on the school of hard knocks, the fact that I've failed and blown it, and by the grace of God, I'm only here, and I don't never, I don't want him to ever think that I got it all figured out or that I've done everything right. He knows I have. And sometimes it's hard to repair old relationships, but guess what? It doesn't negate the fact that when even God in his mercy, he looks at us and says, you know what? You was a fool one time, Daryl. You was out there in that world. You was out there living, roughshod and living in your flesh and in your mess. But I still loved you. I came and loved on you, and I brought you out of that. And I restored you into a place of mercy and grace, and you need to be patient with your son. And that's what the Lord has taught me. You know, we don't have too many spiritual conversations, but I always try to encourage my son that, hey, I love you in spite of you. I love you when you don't even want to be loved. But guess what? God loves you more. God loves you more. So what is the proverb? What is the man of wisdom saying here? What are we being taught here from the words of God? It says, again, a wise son accepts his father's discipline, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Children of the same parents can have different temperaments. There is great hope of those that have a reverence for their parents and are willing to be advised and admonished by them. A wise son hears a father's instruction, but there is little hope for those that will not listen. How can those mend a fault when they will not be told to listen? You know, we live in a world right now where most children really reject any kind of discipline, any kind of authority. I mean, we live in a post-Christian society. And we live in a post-Christian society that says, basically, you don't have to listen to your parents. You know, you're supposed to be thinking for yourself. Do what you want to do, whatever makes you feel good. And that's why we have so many kids out here, just running rampant. They have no fear of their parents. They have no fear of the cops. They have no fear of any authority. And this is what's happening when you throw this book out the way. When you throw this book out. See, it used to be a time when I was coming up, they used to paddle you in school. You used to get swatted in school. I came out of school in 83, out of high school. But I remember back in my junior high, the last part of my junior high and elementary school, hey, if you went to the principal office, you already heard about the reputation of most principals. Hey, if you was in trouble, you was going to get swatted. You didn't even want to go there. The topic is we're teaching out of the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 13, the contrast between the upright and the wicked. And this is Proverbs 13:1. Again, it says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. See, when you truly have children that love the Lord and they love their parents, they don't look at it as mean when you whoop that butt. See, we live in a society now where you're supposed to do the Doper Winfrey thing and just talk to your kids. Well, guess what? Doper don't have no kids. She got puppies. She got some dogs around the house. She don't have human beings to deal with. And if she ever had the babies, she gave them back. But when the little hellions, because all of us are hellions before we come to the cross, when those little hellions start to run rickshaw around your house and tearing up your stuff and they know there's no consequences, guess what happened? First thing you say, oh, you ain't got no disciplined children. Well, the rod of reproof brings discipline. We need to be okay with that. We need to be okay with the fact that it's okay to whoop that butt sometime. In fact, it's commanded by God. But let's move on to number two. Number two is, it says, from the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good, but the desire of the treacherous is violence. The fruit of a man's mouth is what's going on in the inside of them. See, what comes out of us comes from the inside, comes from our heart. If I cuss you out every day and I'm calling you derogatory names, that's because I got a dark heart. I got an evil heart. But see, when my heart is full of love, when my heart is full of joy, when I have the peace of God, when I walk with God, when I'm a soldier for Christ, then I should be speaking like he speaks.
I should have a conscious desire, or I should want to encourage you with words. And so what I say, it should produce something. It should be fruits from my lips and not a derogatory thing. Ladies, gentlemen, your name is not B and your name is not nigga. And just, you know, I'm so sick and tired of, especially my people, black people, sitting here trying to make out the nigga to be a good word. It's never a good word. It was always derogatory from slavery. It's been derogatory ever since. I don't know where people get this from. No, I'm not your nigga. I don't care how what context you put it in. I don't say a lot. I don't say it to everybody because it just brings on a whole argument. But when it for teaching purposes, I'm gonna say it just like that. That is an ugly word. And B, being somebody's female dog friend, ladies, really? When did that become popular? How can you even dress that up? Trying to put some different, trying beautiful, intelligent, this. You can't make that a good word. A female dog is not something that's in heat. It's not something beautiful. But again, we live in this politically correct society. We live in a post-Christian world, so you can say whatever you want, and it's a big old joke now. Well, everything is not funny. From the fruit of a man's mouth, he enjoys good, but the desires of the treacherous is violence. A good heart produces good fruit, but just as a bad heart produces bad fruit. Look. Who you serve, the God that you walk with, the one who is building you up in your most holy faith, he's the one that's ordering your steps. And if he's ordering our steps, guess what? We should be living like him. We should be enjoying or doing as he did. And our lifestyle should be that of a righteous life, a life of integrity, a life of godly character. We got a lot of characters in the church. They ain't God. They're just cartoon characters. I know what's going on with some of these folks. They need to be in the show. Let me go back. I left off something. Again, it says the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. Luke 6:45. The question each of us should be asking: what is in my heart? Are you really a child of God? If we're children of the Most High God, guess what? Fruit should be coming. Fruit of righteousness, not fruit of wickedness. We need to be producing fruit of righteousness. Number three, the one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 13:3. You have not mastered self-control. You do not control what you say. Words can cut and destroy. James recognized this truth when he stated that the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness. James 3:6. If you want to be self-controlled, begin with your tongue. Stop thinking before you speak. I said this yesterday because this was in the last chapter, that we need to be slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to listen. If you can control the small but powerful member, you can control the rest of your body, and none of us can control it. The way we're controlled is self. The self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. You must have a relationship with Christ. You must have a relationship with God, and you must be exercising that relationship on a daily basis. You got to die to self. You got to have crucify your flesh, Galatians 1:21. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. See, the more that we crucify our flesh, the more that our mouth speaks those things which are good and not those things which are evil. Amen? Number four, the soul of a sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. We often hear many religious people expressing a desire to have more of a holy life, yet it never happens. Why is this? The reason is their desire does not stir them to action. They are always learning the Bible but never putting it in practice. Oh, man, you got some people out here that are scholars. They can quote scripture. They know how to. They quote. They just don't ever do. They don't ever live it. They don't ever apply it. They become fat with the knowledge of the word. Got a lot of people standing behind pulpits fat. Their heads are like pumpkins. They tripping over. Got so much wisdom. They got so much information, but there's no dedication because there was never any regeneration. So you got people that's in schools right now, professors and students sitting in theological schools learning how to live a godly life, but yet have never lived a godly life. You got some standing in that don't even believe the Bible, but it was just another way to get into a job career, a career, because ministry is big business. You can get paid a lot of money. Friends, God didn't save you to try to milk him or manipulate him. God saved us to live a holy life. And you can fake man, you can fake all of the professors, you can fake everybody you want, but you can never pull the wool over God's eyes. We need to be mindful. They become fat with knowledge of the word, but have not learned to apply it to their lives. Oh, Lord, how much have I done the same thing? We want to be careful about this. That's hypocrisy. Having information with no dedication means you have no regeneration. And if you have no regeneration, you need to be born again. You need to be born of the Spirit. See, that's the – one of the best examples of a person that's on fire for the Lord is that they can't shut up about Jesus. They can't shut up about telling somebody what it means to be saved, what God has done in their life. And they're not just talking in hyperboles of what they heard. They experienced a new birth, transformation, regeneration. They have been through the portal of transformation, the portal. I always give the example of the caterpillar and the butterfly. You take a caterpillar, when it goes through the cocoon gets in that cocoon or wraps itself up in that cocoon, it comes out a new creation. It is no longer creepy, crawly little bug crawling around on the ground. It's flying. It's got wings. It's beautiful. God has made us a new creation. Any man that be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he or she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. You should see new life and new experiences in every believer that you come across, that you spend some time with. If you're at a church and you see somebody come to faith in Christ, and 6 weeks, 6 months, 6 years, there should be some growth. Or they really weren't what they said they were. There is no, without growth, friends, there has not been a transformation. If a caterpillar still looked like the caterpillar after it went into the cocoon, there was no transformation. Got to hammer that one home, friends. Number five, a righteous man hates falsehood, but a wicked man acts disgustingly and shamefully. God hates sin and falsehood. When a righteous person puts on God's character, they hate sin and falsehood too. You ever notice that how most Christians in today's society, this post-Christian world, some professing Christians are pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-lying, pro-cursing, pro-sex before marriage? Why is it that we, as the Christian world, have now turned over to the world? Our values have now lined up with the world, which we supposedly have come out of. We supposedly we're supposed to hate what God hates. And God hates sin. But now we have rewritten the script. Now you can be gay and you can still get into heaven. Now you can be an abortionist, a murderer, and still get into heaven. You can shack up with your girlfriend or boyfriend, and it's okay. As long as you're faithful to her, you're all right. But friends, that's not the Bible, and that's not scripture, and that is not going to get you into heaven. Oh, I know that's not going to be popular. Oh, you want somebody to tell you that you can do whatever you want. I'm sorry. That's not how God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have eternal life. But we got to come out from this world. We got to separate ourselves, sanctify ourselves from sin. Because God hates sin. Number six, righteous guards the one whose way is blameless, but wickedness subverts the sinner. We all have influences or influence over others, either for good or for evil. Ever since every choice for God sets into motion other opportunities for God. Evil choices follow the same pattern, but in the opposite direction. Each decision you make to obey God's word will bring greater sense of order to your life, while each decision To disobey will bring confusion and destruction. The right choices, the right choices for you. See, just last night, Pastor Steve was, we talked through Romans chapter 6, and it reminded me of how important that we were no longer slaves to sin, but slaves to righteousness, and how important it is for us to realize that our position, who we really are, what God has done for us already, and the fact that from the moment that you gave your life to the Lord, that you was already set apart, you was already everything that God needed to do in your life, he had already done it as far as your relationship between between where you were the moment you said, I do to Jesus, and now that you have said I do, you are a part of the bride, the ecclesia, the called out one. And if you're called out, if you're part of the marriage ceremony, if you genuinely, authentically have given your life to Christ, you already have everything you need. And if you have everything you need, you don't need to ask him for anything else because he's giving you everything that you need to live a godly life. And your life should be an influence on people to show them who Christ is in you, what Christ is doing in your life. And we need to realize that we've set free. We're set free from the chains, from the bondage of sin. It no longer has dominion over us because we're not under law, we're under grace. And one of the things Paul says, should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? And he says in the strongest language, may it never be, or God forbid. But unfortunately in today's society, many people think that they can live in sin, playing in sin, wallowing in sin after they said they gave up their sinful life. But see, that's the problem with the easy believism of just telling people, hey, just say a prayer, repeat after me, and people don't understand that, hey, for me to really dedicate myself, it's like taking a wedding vow. It is taking a wedding vow. When I gave my life to Christ, I was taking a wedding vow. And I think that's the expression we need to let people know, is that you're in a marriage covenant, not with man, but with God. And since you're in a wedding with God, you're in a marriage with God, he requires you to be a faithful wife. We must make it reflect, the lifestyle should reflect your integrity and character. Obedience brings the greatest safeguard and security. Would it not be a good thing to live a blameless life? We're never going to live a sinful life down here, but when he talks about blameless, it means that when people come to cast a judgment on you, it should be a lie. It should be predicated on, look, we're not going to be perfect down here, but we give the devil way too much accusations, or we give him a power to accuse us because we're not walking the way God wants us to walk. We're not talking the way God wants us to talk. We're not living the way God wants us to live. But we made a profession. We go to church, but we're still, again, just getting all this information, but no dedication. And without dedication, without a desire to live holy and righteous, without to walk in humility, then, friends, guess what? We're being beat up. Because the devil don't care how many times you go to church. He don't care how many times you open your Bible. He don't care about all of the so-called amens and hallelujahs you gave up in church. He don't care about none of that. Matter of fact, he wants you to say all that stuff. Just go. When you leave there, you go right back to your sin. Guess what he says to you? He says, hey, I still got him. It's still my service. I'll have him or her in bed tonight. I'll have him or her doing drugs tonight. I'll have him and her smoking a crack pipe. I'll have him and her stealing tonight. I'll have him and her doing whatever it is that they always do. Many people will go to church this coming Sunday, and by Sunday night they'll be sinning. Sins that they did on Saturday night, sins that they did on Friday night, sins that they did all the way through the week, because they are still a slave to their sin. And God is saying to you, come out from among them. I'm ready to break the chain if you would just trust me. You cannot have me plus your sin as a lifestyle. You can't have me plus the world as a lifestyle. You can't have me plus your flesh. I'm a jealous God. I'm a holy God. And I require you to come out from that lifestyle. And if you really are giving yourself to me, I will come into you and dwell with you, and we will have fellowship. But God is not fellowshipping with you when you're fellowshipping with the devil, the flesh, and the world. He's not fellowshipping with you. He's not going to have a relationship with you like that. I don't know what church you go to that allow you to do that or tell you that you can live any way you want to, live any way you always live like you always been doing, and you just try to clean yourself up a little bit. Well, if I could clean myself up, then I didn't need God. There's no way I can clean myself up. There's nothing I can do for me. Christ did it all. But I have to place my faith in him. I have to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. Because the moment I start leaning on me, I'm in trouble. Amen? Let's go to the next verse. Number 7, Proverbs 13, 7. There is one who pretends to be rich but has nothing, another who pretends to be poor but has great wealth. Humility, even when one is wealthy, is the great virtue. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Oh, we got a lot of people. We got a lot of arrogant people in the world. When they got money, oh, man, they stroke their own ego. You can't tell them nothing. They're arrogant. They're very, very obnoxious. Oh, I got money. I can buy this. I can buy that. You even find that, though, with people with education. Well, I wonder where you went to school. I went to Harvard. I went to Duke. I went to this school. I went to that school. And people, their mind or their human wisdom is like a god to them. You got doctors like that because they do so many surgeries. And they make great breakthroughs and strides in medicine. They're very arrogant. But what does he say? Humility, even when one is wealthy, or you can put that humility when one is successful, one is intelligent or smart, is a great virtue. But humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. I can put on airs yet have nothing, but to have something and yet treat others with kindness and compassion displays great wealth. See, when you're humble, when you're meek, like Jesus was, he owned it all. This was his world, friend. But he didn't come down here to be king. He came down here to be our savior. He came down here to be our redeemer. He left heaven. He owned it all. A cattle on a thousand hills. He said, if this is all of mine, if he just wanted to speak it out of existence at the time, he could have done that. But he came down here to save sinners. He showed us the greatest act of love there was in humility, and he showed us the agape love, which was selfless love. That's how we're supposed to be. Don't let your money, don't let your status, don't let anything about your success lift you up. Let God lift you up. That way you can stay low because you realize he's the one that raised you, put you together in your mother's womb, and he prepared you for all your success, but your success is not predicated on you. It's predicated on him and what he's done. And the greatest success you should think about is the fact that you're not going to burn in hell because you've been redeemed, you've been saved, and the blood of Jesus Christ continues to wash us. Not one of us can boast in any accomplishment. I don't care if you're great on the basketball court, football, and all those things. Those things don't have no status in heaven. Only thing that's going to mean something in heaven is what did you do with your success on earth? How did you use it to lift other people up? What I love about Tim Tebow, and a lot of people don't like him, but, you know, he had a little bit of success in the NFL, but what his greatest accomplishment is, and was the fact that he always gave God the glory. He wasn't the standard. And no matter what if he ever comes back in the NFL, the fact is that he was a pilgrim and a soldier for Christ. He was a pilgrim and a soldier for Christ. If God gave him a little bit of success, it was still for his glory. And his integrity, his character, the fact that, hey, a lot of women wanted to, they wanted to get married to him and everything, good-looking guy, all that. But guess what? He wanted a godly woman. He wants a godly woman. He wants somebody that's just a eye candy out there, but she don't have her heart right with God. What's that going to do for you? You have a Beyonce and have a witch in your bed. Number 8, the ransom of a man's life is his wealth, but the poor hears no rebuke. We are prone to judge of men's blessedness according to his words, to this world's good. But Solomon here shows what a gross mistake that is. Those that are rich by some are respected for their riches. Again, we talked about how arrogant people can be when they're rich. Yet by others they are envied and made a target. The rich man must lock his door at night for fear that robbers will enter. If he is kidnapped, he may be able to buy his way out, but who wants to live in fear of being kidnapped? The poor man does not have to worry about losing his riches, for he has none. Wesley said, John Wesley, that is, said, riches enable a man to redeem his life when it is in his greatest danger, and poverty preserves a man from many injuries. Let me read that again. Riches enable a man to redeem his life when it is in greatest danger, and poverty preserves a man from many injuries. But you think about it. Some of the richest people have been kidnapped, or, you know, they take advantage of them. Or, you know, when people, you know, you have these home invasion robberies, nobody goes and robs a poor person. They go and rob rich people, people that got success, or they look successful, they drive a nice car. And breaking your house to steal. It's not always a blessing to be rich. You think about people that won the lottery, and guess what? Every ungodly relative came out of the woodwork that they hadn't talked to in 100 years. All of these folks come out, oh, I'm your cousin from your mother on your fifth, you know, I'm auntie so-and-so, and, you know, I got this need. Now, you ain't heard from these folks, but all of a sudden, you're rich. Now they want to come out and knock on your door. They didn't have nothing to say to you before that. Think about some of these athletes that get these contracts and, oh, my cousin is this, or my nephew is this, or it was a movie with Denzel played in it. Ray Allen played in it too. And all these uncles was like, oh, you gonna? The uncle was like, oh, it ain't right that you ain't gonna help your aunt and uncle. You know, why we shouldn't get something? You know, because his son Ray Allen was going to college. And be a basketball player, but, you know, because this is just the name of the game. When you got it, everybody else want it. But guess what, friends? God can give it to you and take it away. You know, it ain't going to prosper you no bit. What should it profit you if you should gain the whole world and lose your own soul? Or how much will you give in exchange for your own soul? Number 11, almost finished here. Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. There's nothing wrong with good, honest work, no matter what the position. You might work many years as a janitor, as a garbage man, or whatever you did, and you work your way through, and it says you might clean toilets. You might work but it's honest work. You know, ain't no job in America so low that you got to stick your chest out and say, oh, I'm just too good for that job. Honest work is honest work. And guess what? You know, a lot of people say, you know, were said about Hispanics taking jobs. Let me say something. They'll do the jobs that a lot of us won't do. A lot of Americans born in this country won't do because our pride, we stick our chest out and say, oh, I'm not going to clean nobody's toilets. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. If you was in the military, you clean some toilets, some floors. You wax, you buff, you mop, you swept, you clean latrines. But we done got so arrogant and puffed up in our country now that you can't get, you know, black people, white people to clean the toilet now. We too good for those jobs. And that's just nothing but pride and arrogance. Again, it says, wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. Guess what? If nobody clean no toilets, how many people walk around with dirty bathrooms all over the country? If nobody clean anybody's house, or if people didn't clean their house, well, if people didn't pick up trash, what would happen? How much trash would be in the poor and in the rich neighborhood? So don't ever look down upon somebody about what job they have. You better be thankful for the job you do have, because those might be the jobs you'd be looking for one day. Because they'll kick you out of corporate America. Number 12, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. When something has to be put off for a period of time, it is difficult. But when it comes to pass, it is a joy. How much sweeter is the treasure that is desired when waited for and finally fulfilled? Let me read this again. When something has to be put off for a period of time, it is difficult. But when it comes to pass, it is a joy. You know, we hope right now, our hope is that, hey, Christ will come back very soon. Oh, we wait. We eagerly wait for him to come and get his church. We eagerly wait. Some of us might be waiting for a job. Some of us might be waiting for a particular blessing in our life, our situation and status to change. And we all we can do is hope. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. It is a difficult, says, when something has to be put off for a period of time, it is difficult. And it is. It is difficult to wait. We don't always have the patience. We don't always like to play the waiting game. God sometimes is disciplining us in how we wait for things. But when it comes to pass, it is a joy. Knowing that you got what you waited for, it was worth the wait. How much sweeter is the treasure that is desired when waited for and finally fulfilled? Waited for, it's like a woman giving birth. A woman, look, every man, a father who waited for his son, his first child, and he's happy and excited. He couldn't wait to see his son or daughter. It could be a son or daughter. A mother that's giving that's pregnant, she can't wait to give birth. And when the wait is over, it's finally fulfilled. It's finally fulfilled. That child is here. That's one of the greatest examples of waiting for something that it takes 9 months, and you already know it's going to be 9 months on most situations. But still, it's a beautiful thing. Three more to go, friends. Three more to go. 646-668-8468 is calling them. 646-668-8468. We'll be taking phone calls for a little bit for those who might call. If you call in now, I'll see you posted up there, and you can just hit one, and I'll know you want to ask a question or you want prayer or you want to talk to me after the air. If you don't call in, then I'm not going to stick around too long. It says number 13, verse 13, 13, 13, 13, 13, tells us here, the one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. God created us to know us, and God created us, knows us, and loves us. It only makes sense for us to listen to his instructions so that to do what he says. You know, the Bible is full of God telling us what to do, commandment. The commandments that he gives us, they are laws, because he tells us don't steal, don't kill, which is murder, commit adultery, don't covet your neighbor's wife. These things are all moral laws. These are laws that govern our nation or govern any society of people who fear God. And it should be understood that when God tells us not to do these things, he's telling us this for a reason, so that we can be, not only we would be in favor with him, but we would be blessed by not doing those things. Because the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When we're doing what is right and pleasing to God, he is pleased with us, and he doesn't chasten us. He doesn't take us to the woodshed and give us a beat down. Unfortunately, today, in today's world, people want to do everything but what God tells them to do. And he shows us this. God created us, he knows us, and loves us. It only makes sense to listen to his instruction, his commandments, his word, his testimony, his advice, his counsel, his wisdom, and to do what he says. The Bible is his unfailing word, uncompromising word. His word is not a pick-and-choose book. You can't cherry pick the Bible and think you're going to spend eternity with him. You know, a lot of people want the Bible that they can manipulate. They want a God that they can twist his arm and tell him what he's going to do and what they're not going to do. Well, friends, that's not the God of Scripture. That's not the God who spoke things into existence. That's not the God who sent his son down here to die in our place, to be beaten, to be flogged, to be humiliated on the cross. That's not the God. You don't tell God what to do. You don't run anything. Look, we can't even get our kids to submit to us. How the heck are you going to tell God Almighty what to do? That's why the Bible says make your request known. Look, when your house is out of order and you can't get folks to line up, only God can line them up. Because, see, God has a way, he has a switch that he'll get to each and every one of us and line us up and put us in line. Or he'll put you on your back. He'll remind you how short your life is and how much control you have over your very heartbeat and the breath you breathe. Every time somebody has a heart attack, remember this, that's God taking their breath. That's God stifling their breath. That's God saying, I'm in charge, really. Don't ever play with God. Again, he says the Bible is an unfailing word to us. It is like an owner's manual for a car. If you obey God's instruction, you will run right. You know, that's the biggest problem with most of us, friends. We buy stuff. We'll buy the new plasma TV, and we know how to plug it up and turn it on, but we don't never know how to operate the thing. For 6 months, we run around here. I can't get my TV to work right. Can't get my remote to work right. And guess what? We didn't read the operator's manual. I'm guilty. Come on now. If y'all honest, y'all know what I'm saying is true. A lot of us got things that we have bought. We get frustrated with it because it didn't work the way we wanted it to work, but guess what we didn't do? We didn't pick up the owner's manual. We didn't read the information. We didn't get the instructions. We don't know how to do it because we're not following the I am. And we don't follow his manuscript, friends. And we don't follow the instructions that God has given us. Guess where we end up? We end up setting up things wrong. We end up on the wrong road, the wrong map, the wrong relationship, the wrong job. We end up in all these wrong places because we decided we knew what was best for us versus what God did. I'm not telling you something about you. I'm telling you about me. I'm telling you what happens when I made wrong choices, when I chose not to follow God's manuscript. When I said to God, I'm going to do it my way. Again, he says, if you obey God's instruction, you will run right and find his power to live. If you ignore his word, you will have breakdowns, accidents, and failures. My Lord, how many people right now broke down? How many people right now you need to be troubleshooting? How many people right now can't get your engine to run? You don't have any power. You're not plugged in to the power source. Jesus Christ is the power source, friends. In John 15, he tells us that, he says, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine. See, from an agricultural state, when you have a vine, you have little clusters of fruit or grapes or berries and stuff. Guess what? When the berry is disconnected, it's not attached to the vine. It can't get no nourishment no more. Each and every one of us, friends, we have to stay attached to Jesus Christ for all eternity. Till we leave this planet? Till we leave this earth? Till we leave this temporal dwelling place? Because this is not our home for the believer. Now, if it's your home, then guess what? You haven't really given your life to Christ. You don't recognize who you are. The Bible says we are a royal priesthood, a chosen people, a chosen race, a holy priesthood. People are called out by God's name. And if you're called out by God's name, then guess what? You don't belong to you anymore. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to the world. I know somebody hear me right now. Number 14, the teachings of the wise is a fountain to life, to turn aside from the snares of death. Proverbs 13:14, the teachings of the wise is a fountain of life. Oh, this is Jesus. I'll do this right here. The teachings of the wise. Well, God is the essence of wisdom. Christ Jesus is the one we follow, who we follow for that wisdom. He's a fountain of living water in John 4. He told us, he says, if you will drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Many people haven't drank. They don't want to get their cup. Too lazy to pick the cup up. They don't want to get the living water. They don't want to get the bread of life. So they turn aside from the snares of the death. To turn aside from the snares of death. Well, guess what? Friends, if you're not going to drink the living water, you will drink the snares of death. If you're not going to pick up the bread of life, the word of God, then you will eat the food of a foolish one, or the food food of Satan. He has a table set up for you too. True wisdom leads to life. To turn away from wisdom leads to death. You follow Christ, friends, you got eternal life. You follow Satan, you got eternal damnation. Bottom line. Turn away from wisdom, reject God's word, cherry pick his word, be a part-time Christian, be a Sunday morning Christian only. Guess what you're gonna end where you end up at? Lake of fire. Ain't no in between. Oh, that's not loving. Take it up with God. See, I'm not here to make you. I don't care if you like me too much. I want you to love me because I love God and you love God. But I'm not concerned about making you really like me in the sense that I'm going to compromise God's word. I'm here to encourage you to follow God's plan. Because see, I've fallen more times than I can count, and I've fallen to the fact that when I turn my ear away from the Lord, then guess what? I'm no longer in the will of God. When I'm no longer listening to God, the moments that I've given into my flesh or I've allowed the enemy to pimp me, guess what? I wasn't a great witness. I didn't look like I wasn't coming here to bring forth a word because I couldn't speak the word because I wasn't living the word. So I'm telling you just what I know. When you turn your back on God's word, you have no choice but to follow your flesh, the devil, or the world, maybe one of three, two of three, or all three, but you're going to follow. You ain't got no choice. It might be very subtle at first. It might be a little bit here, a little bit there, a little leaven here, a little leaven there. You start compromising here. You're laughing at dirty jokes again. You're watching porn. You're watching this that you shouldn't be watching. You're feeding your spirit. You're feeding your spirit with every ungodly program there is. And you think you're okay. It's not affecting you. Or it might not affect you at first. It might not affect you at first. But guess what? Eventually it will. Eventually it will. Eventually you will give in to the flesh. Eventually you will. All you're doing is breaking down the walls slowly but surely. And next thing you know, your guard is coming down. And God has moved. You're grieving and quenching the Holy Spirit to a point where now you have no victory to be able to come back against those things that you once hated. And you eventually give it. If you got a problem with lust, it might not affect you week one. It might not affect you week two. Give it a month of feeding your flesh things that are lustful. Give it a month. Either you're masturbating, you're thinking about sex all the time with somebody other than your spouse. It doesn't take much, friends. And Satan is standing right there. He's got one of his imps or one of his disciples standing there. She coming along for the men. She's fine, got all of the everything you want. And guess what? You want it all. Oh, man, she wants me. Oh, yeah, Satan wants to set you up. It could be ladies or that dude that come along with that smooth-talking speech. Want to set you up. Oh, you fine, you this. Oh, honey, I want to make you mine. I want to treat you like a queen. That's when you know you his plaything. You're rolling around in the sheets. Ain't no God in the mix no more. You don't stop going to church. You stop reading your Bible. You stop praying with the family of God, with the friends of God. You no longer are being built up in the Word. All you doing is feeding your flesh, and Satan is laughing, I got another. I'm telling you what I know, friends. I'm not making this up. This is not pretend stuff here. This is what I've been through. Number 15, last verse. It says, good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. If we compare not only the end, but the way we find the end, we see that God's way is ultimately pleasant and agreeable. The way of sinners is rough and uneasy. It is hard. The servant of God becomes free, but the servant of sin becomes a slave to it. So provocative. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6 in closing here. Romans 6 and 646-668-8468 is the call-in number. 646-668-8468. He tells us here, Paul says, in the very first verse of chapter 6, he says, what should we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may increase? May it never be. How should we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Lord, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Skip over to verse 15. Verse 15. What should we say? Because we are not under the law, but under grace, man, we are not under, he says, what then should we say? Because we are not under law, but under grace, man, never be. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as a slave for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? In other words, friends, if you give yourself to the devil, you are a slave to the devil. But if you give yourself to Christ, you are a slave to Jesus Christ, a slave to holiness, a slave to righteousness. Not perfect, not sinless, because our righteousness is imputed upon us. God the Father looks at us and says, that man is righteous, that woman is righteous, because they have trusted in my Son. The blood of Jesus Christ, my Son, has covered their sin and washed them. God didn't wash us so we can get back out there in the pig pen, though. God washed us so we could be free. He woke our conscience up. He gave us the ability to think right, to believe him, to know that he is God. It's some powerful stuff, my friend. Again, he says, good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. See, when you understand God's word, when you're walking in the wisdom of God, guess what? You can be so much more victorious. The servant of God becomes free, but the servant of sin becomes a slave to sin. Friend, don't let the devil tempt you. Don't let the devil be your slave master. Let me finish this up. He says in verse 16, do you not know that then when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for the obedience, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, either to sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. In other words, when you heard the gospel should have changed you. On the inside and then outwardly, you're producing fruits of righteousness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. These are the byproducts. These are the fruits of your new conversion. These are the fruits of transformation. These are the fruits of regeneration. Your lifestyle now is ultimately or miraculously different than the old lifestyle. And if it's not different, friends, I mean, because you haven't really either A, you're not believing what God says about you being a new creation. See, the problem is people rely on a prayer, but they haven't relied on Christ. The prayer means nothing if you have not given yourself to Christ. Christ has to be the standard. Christ has to be the way, the truth, and the life. Christ has to be Lord over your life, and in Christ, you are a slave to him. When you're a slave to him, you pick up his word and find out, what does our slave master, what does our master require us to do to get to heaven? This is the roadmap, friends. Thy word is a lamp to thy feet, a light to thy path. Thy word I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against him. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, again, Lord, you spoke to us, Lord, from the power of the Spirit. And, Lord, we just ask, Lord God, that somebody right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, they're struggling, Lord. They're trying to find victory, Lord God, and the victory is already been given, Lord, but they just haven't realized who they are, Lord. Lord, I pray that this was an encouraging message, Lord, that people don't take it personally, but they take it seriously, that we need to trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. We need to continue to apply wisdom, and we can jettison that foolishness, Lord. We can make healthy decisions in our lives, and when we do mess up, and we will, then we can get up quickly. We can ask for forgiveness, Lord, and we can turn away from those things that tripped us up. Lord, you're so merciful. You're so great to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, for this, allowing us this time together. I pray this was a sweet-smelling smelling aroma in your nostrils this afternoon. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We say amen, amen, amen. Hey, friends, I want to thank you for participating and coming out. I hope you guys were blessed. Please check out the archives. If you didn't catch all of it, you can go to Blog Talk Radio. Minister Big Ken 65, you can listen to the past. You know, you can listen to all the series that we've been doing in Proverbs, 13 chapters. Now we're in, and we'll, Lord willing, we'll finish up chapter 13 tomorrow. I see you there, Angel. God bless you. Thank you for coming out. Georgina, God bless you. Again, friends, if you've been blessed by this ministry, I'm asking you guys prayerfully consider donating to the GoFundMe account. $5 or $10 from everybody will go a long way. We just want to try to reach out to be able to do more ministry and stuff and paying for the internet and the phone and the Blog Talk Radio spot. Just asking people that will feel led by the Holy Spirit, only if you feel led by God. Pray about it. See what the Lord tells you. Go to the GoFundMe account. The link is on the top of page. It's also on my Facebook page. You can follow me on Facebook, Daryl Kendrick. I'm constantly posting up and blogging on there. And you can follow me at Daryl Kendrick. You can also follow me on Twitter at DKendrickSR65. And Lord willing, next week we're going to do our first YouTube video. And that way we can get more video, more YouTube daily teachings out there. And so I want to just thank you guys for your prayers. If there's anybody that wants a prayer request or has anything to share, you can call the phone number right now, 646-668-8468. I'll take the phone call, 646-668-8468. I'll stick around for maybe 5 minutes for those who might have a question, a comment. You want to comment about the show, what you thought about it. You want to comment about you got something personal going on. If you want to talk to me off the air, you can hit me up on Facebook at Facebook Messenger at Daryl Kendrick, and we can talk there as well. But if you have a prayer request right now, a comment, anything you want to share right now, 646-668-8468, and we can talk, chop it up. For those that's on Friend Life, anybody have any comments? Anybody have any prayer requests? Anybody have anything to share? Please, please. You guys are quiet today. Come on now. I know somebody got something they want to share. Not one question, huh? 646-668-8468 is the call-in number, 646-668-8468. You got a comment, question, want to share a prayer, anything. If not, you guys, I guess you'll hit me up on Facebook. Again, I want to remind you, this Sunday, if you're in the Los Angeles area, please come out, check us out at Core Church of Los Angeles, Core Church of L.A. 2 minutes. Okay. If you're in the Los Angeles area, you're looking for a place to come fellowship, please come check us out. Core Church of Los Angeles, located 2037 South La Cienega Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90034. You can check us out there. Services start 8:30, 10:30, and 12:30 p.m. And we're also going to have a musical guest called the Katinas. You can go to the website, www.corechurchla.org, and you can check out and get all the information there. We're doing a special Sunday night concert with the Katinas at 6 o'clock p.m. at Core Church LA. So I want to invite you guys, if you're in the Los Angeles area, or you have family members out there, hey, please have them come out. Come out and break bread. And we can lift up the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, with worship and the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, you guys, you guys have been great. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for your support. Remember, put me on your Facebook friend list. Hey, hit me up. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter. Gmail, dkendricksr at gmail.com. My personal cell phone number is 424-702-8135. If you're looking for a Bible teaching church in your area and you don't know how to find one, I can try to help you find one. So please reach out to me, Facebook Messenger, Instant Messenger, however you want to do it on Facebook. You can make me your friend there. And that's all I got for today. I hope you guys have a blessed Friday. I hope you have a blessed Saturday. Tomorrow we'll probably do a few spots on Periscope, and we'll probably do a few I don't know if I'm going to finish up 13 tomorrow or wait till Monday. I haven't decided. You'll see it posted up on my Blog Talk Radio. Again, Minister Big Ken 65, copy that link, put it in your browser. It'll take you to the over 600 messages that I got on the internet. And go back and listen to those at any time. So I just want to thank you guys for being here today. God bless each and every one of you. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine down upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. I'm your host, Minister Daryl Kendrick, coming to you live from Southern California. And the Lord is our rock and our refuge.
Amen. Can you really know? I was raised in a Christian home, in different rooms, son of a preacher man. Faith that has been assumed, brainwashed in my youth. Think of the Jews, money on Bible college, and train rides to school. Play a follow the leader. What am I to believe? That I blindly believe when I got a Bible to read. That I got down on my knees to walk away to God. Drop down to plead and throw the waste of my time.
Everybody, have a good weekend.